What does a British base in Cyprus have to do with Israel's genocide in Gaza?
Although we're really proud of what you're doing, we can't necessarily tell the world what you're doing here.
Declassified travelled to this Mediterranean island.
How do you think he knew our names?
To investigate the hundreds of spy flights that Keir Starmer has sent over Gaza.
That's what they're doing. They're off on a death run.
UK is now paying American mercenaries to do their dirty work over Gaza.
That coincided with Israeli airstrikes and the murders of British aid workers.
You're suddenly looking on the television, there's your son in a body bag. And that is one memory that will stay in my mind forever.
We go where the British media and military experts have refused to look and ask whether this scandal could put Keir Starmer in The Hague.
British faces out! Out, out, out! British faces out!
Out, out, out! British faces out!
Out, out, out! British faces out!
Limassol is a popular holiday destination in Cyprus for Brits, Russians and Israelis. From the main promenade, you can just about see the British airbase, RAF Akrotiri, on a peninsula directly across the bay. Melanie Stelio is a Cypriot politician and vocal campaigner against the British bases here.
Yeah, it's really loud.
Can you hear it?
Sounds like a fighter jet.
It is, yeah. It's a fighter jet going off, guys.
Sounds like one of the typhoons that they've been using to bomb Yemen.
If we are in the open further down, we might be able to catch one.
Yeah.
This is Akrotiri.
So
this is a no-go zone. So this here is the Salt Lake. This is an environmentally protected area, a conservation area, and that is part of RAF Akrotiri base. So a fighter jet took off.
That looks like maybe the refueling plane.
And this is the refueling plane, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, now, just the feeling of knowing that these planes are taking off from here, I'm sorry. And people, children might be dead and people will be dead and they're taking off from here. It's heart-wrenching and infuriating. It gets me so mad. To know that they're off on a death expedition, because that's what they're doing. They're off on a death run.
We later found out these fighter jets were bombing suspected militants in Iraq, a legacy of Tony Blair's 2003 invasion. But we'd come here to investigate the spy planes that were going to Gaza, and needed to work out where we could film them from. On the beach, we could see soldiers enjoying the sun late on a Friday morning in their own beach bar, the Cholona. Keir Starmer had visited them here a few months ago.
Although we're really proud of what you're doing, we can't necessarily tell the world what you're doing here.
Strangely, despite the secrecy around the base, it didn't feel very secure.
Αν ήξερετε αν γίνον το θέλει ήταν πάνω ή κάτω.
Ήταν πάνω
και πότε έπαιζε.
Μπορεί να έχει και κανένα χρόνο που
έπαιζε. Κανένα χρόνο που έπαιζε και αφήσαν το έτσι. Αλλά που τζάμε και εκεί, που τζάμε και μέσα, δεν δικαιούσε να μπεις μέσα, είναι.
Όχι, δεν είναι.
Άμα μπεις να κολυμπήσεις, δεν έχει πρόβλημα. Ναι, αλλά άμα μπεις για να κινηματογραφήσεις, φαντάζομαι μπορεί να έχει πρόβλημα.
Have you ever actually seen the spy flight take off from this base, Melanie?
Yes, you see them taking off because they're constantly taking off. We monitor them. We know what they look like. This is why I said, despite the fact that this is not normal and it should not be normalised, because we live here and we see it and we've been brought up with this.
You're just used to it by now.
I don't know how people can get used to it if you think... And bear in mind, every single time that you see one of these jets going off, that they're either gathering information to give to the Israelis to target and bomb people, children, old people, women in Gaza. how you can feel that that is normal. It's not. It's just been normalised because we see it every day.
I mean, the British would say that they're just looking for where hostages are.
No, I don't trust that response. If an announcement comes out from the British base saying that it's raining, I would open my window to check. I don't believe a word they say.
Melanie's scepticism about what happens at RAF Akrotiri stems from the British government's secrecy about its activities here. Throughout the conflict, Declassified has been trying to establish the facts around these surveillance missions, while the BBC and corporate media have effectively been silent. Politicians and military leaders have refused to answer our basic questions.
Why are you still sharing intelligence with Benjamin Netanyahu while he's wanted by the International Criminal Court for war crimes in Gaza?
How can you justify continuing to send these planes over Gaza? Why are you still sharing intelligence with Israel at this stage of the genocide?
Do you routinely share intelligence with countries whose leaders are wanted for war crimes by the International Criminal Court, Admiral? Why aren't journalists being allowed to ask you these questions?
Meanwhile, military and intelligence experts at Britain's top war studies departments told us they had never heard of the Gaza spy programme, despite it being one of the UK's most intense intelligence operations in recent decades. So how did we get here? The flight started a few months into the war, and this was the official reason given by the government.
They do not have a combat role, and they'll be tasked solely to locate hostages.
The policy continued when Labour came to power, with up to 740 flights, according to flight tracking data, or roughly one a day. These planes have gathered thousands of hours of surveillance footage that, according to government sources, have been shared in real time with Israel. Flight times often correlated with major massacres. Back in the UK, we met with Steve Masters, who is an engineering technician in the Royal Air Force for nearly 20 years.
The British government say the only reason that these flights have been going over Gaza is to look for hostages held by Hamas. As someone who's been in the Royal Air Force, do you believe that?
They've admitted themselves that they're sharing intelligence from these flights in real time. Now, that could well be connected to hostages, but it could also be for ground operations. It's also quite easily be used for general target acquisition, general intelligence gathering.
If you share intelligence, live intelligence from a battlefield with a party to that conflict, how can you stop them using the intelligence for whatever purpose they want?
I don't believe you can. If it's been streamed in real time to an intelligence and operation room, you have no idea how they're utilising and using that intelligence moving forward.
So the Israelis could have used intelligence from Britain to target civilians in Gaza?
I don't think that that's a stretch of anybody's imagination.
Back in Cyprus, we wanted to gather more evidence about the spy flights.
I think it's a really important time to be doing this. The UN Commission of Inquiry has declared that there's genocide happening in Gaza, and yet the UK still seems to be sending these spy flights. They're doing it in the dead of night. The trackers are only coming on for about a minute, and so they're trying to make it as hard as possible for the public to know what's going on. And they appear to be using this outsourced US company. So that's why we're having to go there in person. And if we have to stay out there all night, that's what we're going to do.
Our colleague had managed to gather the first and only footage of the spy planes from this beach last year, but that was in daylight. Back then, the RAF used its own fleet of Shadow R1 aircraft, which appeared on flight tracking websites as they left Akrotiri and flew over the Mediterranean. They would then disappear for 4 or 5 hours while they flew over Gaza, then reappear over the Mediterranean before landing back at base. From this, we could at least tell when and for how long the flights were going. But in August, it emerged the RAF had outsourced the spy missions to an American company, Sierra Nevada Corporation, whose planes take off in the dead of night. Its location beacons are almost completely turned off, apart from brief flashes, known as squawks, on the tarmac at Akrotiri. We wanted to find out if these squawks meant the plane was still taking off, or if the surveillance of Gaza had quietly stopped. So the sun's just set over there in the west, and I'm on Ladysmal Beach. The British Air Force base is just over there, over the wire. I'm inside the British-occupied part of Cyprus, but this is technically public land, so the Ministry of Defence press office have told us that we can film the base from here. Obviously, we can't go beyond the wire, and we hope that if the police are going to come and give us any trouble, they'll do it kind of in the next hour while there's still a bit of light, and we can just carry on waiting for the flight to take off. There's some two planes now behind us. So I think these must be fighter pilots, trainee fighter pilots, because the way that they came down to the runway like that and then took off again, I mean, I've not seen a commercial jet do that. And actually now it looks like they're flying straight towards us.
We later discovered this type of aircraft has been used to train American Special Forces pilots. The beach went dark shortly after they landed. We were waiting a mile from the runway, and even with a telephoto lens and a camera with low light capabilities, it was hard to see what was happening on the base.
So there's some red lights in the sky that we've been following for a few minutes now, and it looks like it is a plane that's coming into land at RAF Akrotiri. I think it's too big to be the spy plane. It's hard to tell at the moment. Okay, it's starting to come into land now. And just see it going along the edge down there. It's touchdown. Yes, that looks too big to be the spy plane, but it's interesting what we were able to pick up with the camera this late at night.
That was a cargo plane flying in from RAF Bryce Norton in the UK, lightly carrying troops or supplies. A few hours later, we saw two Typhoon fighter jets and a refueling tanker take off. They flew over Syria and headed towards Iraq before turning off their location beacons. Local news reports said there were airstrikes in Iraq that day. While we waited past midnight for the spy flight, we were joined by night fishermen who, like us, had torches and tripods. When the British base police did eventually come and shine their lights in our direction, the fishermen seemed to provide good cover, and the patrol car drove off into the night.
So it's now about 1:30 in the morning. The last fisherman has gone home, and so we're officially alone on Britain's hottest beach. And it's about an hour to go now until we think if the flight's going to take off tonight, that's when it will take off. So this is it. It's the final shift. We're going to keep our eyes out for any lights turning on suddenly, lights moving on the runway, or noises of engines powering up. Yeah, something's powering up.
What is it? Could that be a hangar there?
Yeah.
Sounds like it's coming from that. Oh.
What have you got?
That white light just came on.
Got that tail moved. Okay, that must be it, Alex.
Got it.
You got it. Let's do this. So I guess just before it takes off, those engines are gonna have to power up again. It's gonna get noisier. And then we're just gonna catch it through the gaps in the trees. Here it goes. That's it. There it is, taking off now. You got the white and red. You got it?
Yeah.
That's it. A off it goes to Gaza. That was pretty hard to spot. There it goes off into the distance, into the night sky. From this peaceful beach on Cyprus to the complete apocalypse of Gaza. At least 100 people were killed in Israeli airstrikes across Gaza in the day that followed. There was heavy bombing of a family home and a busy market in Nuzarat. Many of the dead were children. We can't say for certain if the surveillance footage taken by the flight was used by Israel to carry out any of these attacks. The UK still claims Israel only uses the intelligence to find hostages, and the spy planes almost always turn off their location beacons before they reach Gaza. But on a couple of missions, the trackers stayed on the whole time, revealing they fly in circles over selected parts of Gaza. We found that one of these flights flew over Nuzarat on the 11th of December 2024, just hours before a house was bombed, killing 34 civilians. A closer look at the flight path shows it flew within three streets of that house. The RAF flights were generally in the air for about 5 or 6 hours, but the outsourced flights seemed to have less range, spending up to 4 hours in the air, so we were confident we would see it landing soon. At around 5:30 a.m, the fishermen started coming back for the early morning catch. The sun came up around 6:30. We waited and waited and waited.
So we've got a bit of a problem, basically. It's now 9 o'clock in the morning. We haven't slept. It's blazing hot again. This plane still hasn't landed. It's been 6 hours since it took off. The RAF ones been looking back at the flight logs. They hardly ever flew for more than 6 hours. So we thought with fuel, you know, that this would be the max. Maybe this American plane they've hired can go for longer. You know, we've got other things. We're not in Cyprus for very long. We've got other things to film. So might have to call it a day quite soon unless it lands.
Exhausted and with the spy plane seemingly vanished, we went back to our hotel to get some rest. Later that day, we met with Cypriot activist and researcher Matthew Stavranidis to show him what we had filmed.
Based on the video, even though it's a bit grainy, I would almost 100% say it's the same aircraft. And given the timing of the signal, beyond a doubt, in my opinion.
How important is that kind of footage as evidence for human rights groups and campaigners like yourself?
It's damning evidence because it proves that since they took over operations until now, they have not paused spy operations for more than 2 days. Because at least on flight radar, there hasn't been a pause in flight in signals being released for more than 2 days. No matter what department or agent this information, this data that's collected is being shared with, once it's out of their hands, it can be used in however they want. The fact that they've leased operation to the US, we say that it's basically the UK is now paying American mercenaries to do their dirty work over Gaza.
Despite Sierra Nevada trying to cover their tracks, we now know that as squawks result in planes taking off, there were up to 116 extra surveillance missions than could previously be confirmed.
And Matthew, after this flight took off, we waited for about 7 hours to try and catch it landing. Where do you think the plane might have gone?
It might have just been doing an extremely long surveillance operation, which would be very problematic because that means that even more military intelligence is being shared live with Israel. The other option would be that there's a possibility that even Cypriot infrastructure is being used to accommodate these aircrafts. One of the Shadow R1 spy planes took off from RAF Agrodiri, spent several hours somewhere over Gaza, and then instead of landing back at the RAF Agrodiri base, landed at Paphos International Airport, which is under the control of the Republic of Cyprus.
So this is one possible explanation for why we didn't see the plane land. Evidence for the other theory can be seen in this video from an air show in the US. Sierra Nevada was showcasing the exact plane that flew over Nizarat last year. The registration matches up with the flight tracker. And advertising the plane's capabilities, including flight durations of up to 7 hours. So it really could have been circling Gaza for all of that time.
That dome looks like it's probably their satellite communications technology, so they were using that probably to relay any intelligence that they're gathering.
As a former RAF technician, Steve Masters was able to give some insight into the protrusions and equipment we could see on the Sierra Nevada aircraft. While the capabilities of the RAF planes are top secret, promotional brochures about the outsourced aircraft are available to anyone online and prove very revealing.
These are some pictures of what's inside. What does this look like to you?
You have the exterior radome, which is going to be permeable composite material, so to allow the satellite signal to get out its broadcasting material. And inside you have what appears to be a fairly standard satellite communication array dish.
And this is what would allow them to share the footage in real time with Israel.
That allows the real-time footage, real-time intelligence to be broadcast to a command centre remote from the aircraft and from the direct theatre of operations.
Declassified previously found that a spy flight had been in the air around the time that three British aid workers were killed by an Israeli drone in April 2024. The Ministry of Defence confirmed to us that they have footage of Gaza from that day, but have refused to release it. We went to visit the family of one of the victims of that attack, a former Royal Marine called James Henderson. We asked his father, Neil, how he feels about the decision not to release the footage to the family.
Quite angry. The reason for not supplying that footage from the Ministry of Defence is a bit of an insult. Whether it's to do with national security, whatever, but I can't understand how an RAF plane flying over Gaza on the pretext of looking for hostages, how that footage can affect British security. And if that footage was released, then we're going to get a better idea of what was happening on the ground at the time. Because I don't believe for a moment that the Israelis or the IDF weren't there. I really do believe they were deliberately targeted.
Did you ever imagine that Jim would be killed by a British ally like us?
No. Their response to the incident, and even the British government's response to the incident, really is woeful. Three army veterans trying to help out in an absolute nightmare of a situation there, I think is disgusting.
Another capability of both the RAF and Sierra Nevada flights is advanced radar imaging. And this could be relevant in the case of the Hendersons. The spy flights we've tracked fly at around 25,000 feet, and the special radar imaging systems they use have the ability to image most of the Gaza Strip at these sorts of heights.
If they're operating between 15 and 25,000 feet, for example, I think you would be able to fly anywhere around the Gaza Strip and acquire targets. With that technology, they can penetrate cloud, which has always been the enemy of surveillance from the air. So it can penetrate cloud, it can penetrate the fog of war, so if there's explosions, dust and debris, through natural hazards such as foliage, and depending on the density of the earth, there will be some penetration. So it gets a 3D view, and I think they use AI to enhance the resolution. So you can use it for target acquisition, and no matter where the aircraft goes, the camera, the eyes, are focused on the target, allowing constant surveillance.
The equipment they've got, spy plane stuff, it's high tech, and that would give us a far better understanding of what was happening on the ground, which I think would, by releasing that footage, prove that the Israelis were watching them at the time.
And just going back to the day, like, where were you when you found out the terrible news about what had happened?
Well, it was a Tuesday morning. I'm getting ready to go down to the rugby club, volunteer down there. And then Fish got a phone call from Jackie. It's a feeling I just can't describe. It's just like the world's closing in on you. It's horrible. You're suddenly looking on the television and you're looking, and there's your son in a body bag. And that is one memory that will stay in my mind forever.
Through the Spy Flights programme, Britain has amassed thousands of hours of battlefield surveillance. But if British victims of Israeli war crimes are being denied access to potential evidence, what chance do Palestinian victims have? As we drove around RAF Akrotiri with Melanie, we could feel the tension in the air. This lorry driver didn't want to be filmed and demanded we delete the footage. There were signs everywhere saying no photography, even though we'd been told by the Ministry of Defence press office in London that there would be no problem filming from public land.
There's monitoring systems and antennas everywhere.
Mm.
And I am not allowed to stop on this stretch of road. I'm not allowed to stop or park on any stretch of this road. And if I do, I will probably get arrested. But there are no signs on the road to say that we are, and you can see it there. That's us on the road. The United Kingdom is on this side and Cyprus is on that side. There's a line in the middle of somebody's field. And this is United Kingdom, this is Cyprus.
There may be no checkpoints to cross from the Republic of Cyprus to the British-occupied part. But that doesn't mean we weren't being watched. After we filmed with Melanie, she got a call from the British base police asking what we were doing and who we were.
The person in charge, the officer, he said to me, was it Alex Morris and Phil Miller? He knew your names.
How do you think he knew our names?
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
It sounded like we were being watched. But rather than hide away, we decided to visit Britain's biggest spy station on the island.
So I've just left Limassol, and already I can see up in the mountains, towering over us, a couple of these white giant golf balls, which I believe are the GCHQ stations up on Mount Olympus, the highest point of Cyprus, from where they can spy over the whole of the Middle East and Africa. And potentially it's spy stations like this that are involved in sharing the intelligence from the spy flights with Israel.
At the summit of Mount Olympus lies RAF Troodos, the jewel in the crown of Britain's surveillance assets on Cyprus. To get there, we had to climb 2,000 metres above sea level, driving through forests filled with the scent of pine trees. Now a haven for hikers in summer and skiers in winter. It was in the cooler valleys like this where anti-colonial rebels fought against the British Empire in the 1950s, risking torture or death. They won a partial victory, with Britain leaving most of the island in 1960. But the UK managed to keep 3% of Cyprus, including the most strategic spot, which it shares with America's National Security Agency.
So there's the big golf balls up there. There's another one over there. Not really sure how close we can get as journalists. Yeah, so there are various signs, and it says no filming as well. But there's a sign here that says a microwave radiation hazard may exist at heights over 3 meters above ground. I think that points towards how powerful some of this monitoring equipment is behind us. And also, you know, there's no aircraft taking off from here. Even though it's called RAF Trudos, this is very much a GCHQ and NSA spy station. The name is misleading in what it's actually doing. But I think this sign does show that just how powerful some of the equipment is in here. So this must be the main gate for RAF Trudos behind me. Got my press cards visible. It says armed guards and military working dogs on patrol. But you can see why they want to have this base up here. It's an incredible view out over Cyprus. I can see the Mediterranean Sea. Gaza's only 200 miles away. And I imagine with all these sophisticated antennas, radars, they could easily see into there. It's really windy up here. We're 2,000 meters above sea level. And you can actually understand how strategic this location is for Britain and the US. And it raises serious questions about what kind of intelligence they'd share from here with Israel during the genocide in Gaza.
From Trudos, we drove down the other side of the mountain to our final stop, the capital, Nicosia, once the scene of anti-British riots during colonial rule, where today activists were marching to the British High Commission in protest against the bases and their role in Gaza.
The Bases of Cyprus campaign is led by a coalition of grassroots activist groups here in the UK and the US that demand the removal of the British bases from our country. In other words, we seek the full decolonization of Cyprus. Thanks to the work of media outlets and figures like Declassified UK and Genocide Free Cyprus in exposing British military activity and American presence within these bases, we know that the UK government is a direct participant in Israel's genocide in Gaza, and that the bases on Cyprus serve as a launch pad for Starmer's murderous activities.
It feels like they've moved the flight into the dead of night to try and make it harder for the media to know what's happening, and for activists to know as well, and the way that they're hiding it on the flight tracker. It's very important what the activists are doing here, monitoring these flights, and you know, as journalists, we need to be able to expose what's going on. So many of our colleagues in Gaza have been killed. For us, it's relatively, you know, extremely safe to do the work that we do. So I think it's incumbent on us as journalists to take our cameras there and expose what's happening. The Ministry of Defence is getting more and more nervous about what it's doing to support Israel's war in Gaza. And events like this today, protests like this, will make it harder for them to try and hide what they're doing.
With these spy planes, it's the first time I realised there was a British involvement. Get the MOD to release that footage. You know, why has it taken so long? I think the British government need to be more transparent in their dealings with Israel.
My message to the government is release the footage. The continuing blockage of that footage to the public does nothing to quell the suspicion that we are materially aiding a genocide. So I think that there is a real need for them to be held accountable, and if that means going to The Hague, then so be it.
The British government should just look after its own people, the British citizens, instead of meddling in other countries' affairs. The British Empire has never failed.
How much suffering do the Palestinians have to experience until British officials like Keir Starmer, like David Lammy, can actually recognise that they are directly complicit, they're directly involved in the suffering in Gaza?